This is my number one daughter, Shonda, and her friend Phil.
Thank you. We're so delighted to have you with us today. Okay, so a life of courage, a life of courage. Our December theme is integrity. So this week we're looking at what that means to live a life of courage. Here is the statement that we're sort of focusing on this month. We embrace the quality of being honest and strive to let our inner convictions match our outer actions. We express wholeness, honesty, and fairness in our relationships and activities. So here's an affirmation by Ernest Holmes about courage. So you can just close your eyes if you want to while I read it and just take it in as your truth. Infinite intelligence governs, guides, directs, sustains, and animates my life. The infinite mind knows no mistakes. It is never discouraged. This mind is my mind now. All belief in fear, discouragement, disappointment, or failure is erased from my consciousness. And so it is. Okay. So, there are a lot of people who will try to convince you that this is a very fearful world, very fearful world. I had some gentlemen come to my house not so long ago with some religious material to share with me. And they engaged me in a conversation starting off with, "Wow, the world's really a fearful place, isn't it? You have to lock up your house, you have to lock up your car, you never know what people are going to do," and just all kinds of fear statements. So I, you know, didn't want to argue, but I just said, well, that's one way of looking at it. You know, there are other ways of looking at it, too. And so he was really building up a case for this scary world. And I would have gotten into a longer discussion with him, but I was kind of busy that day, so I just kind of let it ride. But Marvin tells the story about me when we were in Colorado. Some very well-meaning folks came by to share their religious information and tracts with me, and they expressed an opinion, and I expressed my opinion, and it went on for a while. I thought we were having a wonderful discussion until they said, well, we have to go now. So I realized that they had opinions that they wanted to share with me, but they didn't necessarily want a discussion. So that was kind of what I had to accept. So anyway, the gentleman who came to my house here in Alabama were wanting to give me some material, and I had a great idea. I said, oh, wait just a minute. So I went to the house, and I got a Daily Word and Science Mind magazine, and I took them out, and I said, here, we'll trade. You know, because I thought, maybe they'd like to have another perspective. So if they want one, I was going to offer it to them, you know, without engaging in a long conversation. So anyway, their perspective seemed to be based on fear and threats and a small world that we have to, you know, pull in and to in order to make it through just to survive. And of course, our perspective here is different. Our perspective here is expansive and inclusive. And so instead of retreating, we're looking at how can we advance in our lives? How can we expand? How can we share more of the beauty and the love and the joy that life is? And the idea that we live in a fearful world, I think there's always been a need for courage. It's part of the human experience. But if you look at our life now compared to the pioneers that crossed the Atlantic Ocean not knowing what they were going to be getting into, you know, there were lots of things that they could feel afraid of. Or when they settled here and didn't have any food, they had to grow their own food, they had to weather the storms with shelter. There were lots of things. And then as they traveled west to explore new territories, there were even more things that they had to conquer and be courageous about. So although the things that people might be frightening us about are different things, they're still just things that people look at. And so what we need to do is transform our thought so that we're not picturing the world as a frightening place. You know, if you go back further, you can see there have always been plagues and illnesses and famine and wars, all kinds of things happening on the planet, all kinds of things that people had to muster up and pull up and draw up their courage in order to move through them. So overcoming fear and living a life of courage has always been a part of the human condition. It's just changed forms. So if you get into conversations with people wanting to share that opinion, you might want to give them a different perspective. I mean, it's worth a try. I think that we can create what the Bible calls a new heaven and a new earth, which begins with transforming our thought world. Now, I'm not talking about just throwing caution to the wind and leaping without looking. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. But I'm talking about, is the courage to live a life of moral integrity, like the statement at the beginning. If this comes up, I'll switch to this other microphone. We'll see what happens. So the statement at the beginning, we embrace the quality of being honest and strive to let our inner convictions match our outer actions. We express wholeness, honesty, and fairness in our relationships and activities. That's what I call moral courage, and that's what we're always confronted with living every day. My resource today is a book titled, If You Know Who You Are, You Will Know What to Do. I'm going to use this one. The book was written by Ronald Greer. So the book got its title, If You Know Who You Are, You'll Know What to Do. It got its title from an incident that happened during the Second World War. There was a Dutch lay missionary whose name was Hendrik Kramer, and he was looked upon as a leader to the Dutch community, the Dutch religious community during that time. And this was when the Gestapo, the Nazi regime, was moving into Holland and imprisoning the Jewish population. And one night a group of people came to Hendrik and they said, "What shall we do? Our neighbors are dying, and we don't know what's to become of our nation. Please tell us what to do. We don't know. We have to do something. We have to do it now." So Hendrik said, "I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm going to tell you who you are, and then you'll know what to do." So he opened his Bible and he read to them from 1 Peter. "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, and a people claimed by God as his own, to proclaim the triumph of him who has called you out of darkness and into this marvelous light. Now do you know who you are?" he asked. "Because if you know who you are, then you'll know what to do." So the group left his house that night and formed the Dutch Resistance. And that group grew to 300,000 people, and they did all kinds of nonviolent things to subvert the actions of the Nazis. They published newspapers and disseminated the truth to all the people in Holland as to what was actually happening, because the Nazis had shut down the press and the forms of communication. They hid people in their homes so that they could avoid being captured. That's how the story, the Diary of Anne Frank, got started. So they did all kinds of things to help their resistance movement. And so they knew who they were, and they knew who their Jewish neighbors were, all expressions of the divine. And so because they knew that, they knew what to do in moving forward for their country. Ronald Greer, who wrote this book, defines integrity this way. He says, "Integrity, it's doing the right thing when we know it's the right thing to do. It's who we are. It's being true to the lives to which we have been called. It's who we are when someone's watching and when there's not a soul in sight." That's what integrity is by his definition. So Greer tells the story of a man named Bobby Jones. He was an amateur golfer back in the 20s, and he had already established himself as a golfer when he won the Grand Slam, which consisted of four major tournaments in his area. But he defined himself as a person in 1925 at the US Open. What happened was he was playing the 11th hole at the Worcester Country Club outside of Boston. And as he moved towards where the ball was, his club moved the grass, which caused the ball to move. That's a penalty. So he told the official, my ball just got moved by me and I need to be penalized. And the official said, well, I didn't see it. And he turned around and said, did you see it? No, I didn't see it. His partner, I didn't see it either. So they said, just forget it. And he said, no, he wouldn't let it rest. He said, no, that was not right. That happened and I need to be penalized. So they went on and they finished that whole round of golf. And at the end, his score, according to the officials, was 76. But he knew that he needed to be penalized that 1 point. So he said, no, it was 77. So because of that 1 point differential, he lost the US Open in 1925. That was how committed he was to being right, to being honest, to being truthful. That's certainly something admirable. And so the people afterwards were congratulating him on his good sportsmanship, on his honesty, and he was kind of perplexed and amazed. He said, I don't know why you're congratulating me. I don't hear you congratulating me for not robbing banks. So it was a matter of, you know, perspective. He was sure he was doing the right thing, and that was nothing to congratulate him for. So it was a matter of moral integrity. He was living a life of courage. He had the courage of his convictions. Joseph Campbell writes about the hero's journey. Some of you may be familiar with this mythological approach to the journey that each of us are on. He defines the hero's journey as a step unto the path of our true inner calling. The hero's journey is that deep discovery of who we really are. And as Greer said, when we know who we are, we'll know what to do. Being in integrity is following this path, no matter what. And the power and courage to do this comes from a deep faith in knowing that God has our back. You know, in the military with pilots, they say if they're, sorry, I'm tethered today. So they'll say, I've got your six, because they picture the plane as a clock, and this is 12, this is 6, this is 3, and this is 9. So when a pilot is radioing to another one and saying, I've got your 6, he means I've got your back, I've got you covered. So I like that idea, I've got your 6. So I had my son make me this keychain. It has a big U standing for the universe and a 6 in the middle. That image came to me in meditation one time. It has a U with a 6 in the middle. The universe has my 6. That's my affirmation. That's what I want to remember all the time, that the universe has my back and that I'm covered, that I'm taken care of. So in his book, Pathway to Bliss, Joseph Campbell talks about the hero's journey that we're all on. And this is what he says. What I think is a good life is one hero journey after another. Over and over again, you're called to the realm of adventure. You are called to new horizons. Each time, there's the same problem. Do I dare? And then if you do dare, the dangers are there, and the help also in the fulfillment or the fiasco. There's always the possibility of a fiasco, and there's also the possibility of bliss. Amen. So here are the steps that Joseph Campbell has defined on this hero's journey that we're all taking, that we're all in the process of over and over again. Now, as I'm going through these steps and stages, you can think about your own life. You can also think about some stories that we have in our culture. Look at Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. She was on a hero's journey. Look at Luke Skywalker in Star Wars. He was on a hero's journey. Look at Harry Potter more recently. Those were all hero's journeys. So as I'm explaining these steps, think about your own hero's journey as well as these characters. So the first part of the journey, it begins in the mundane. Everything is just okay. It's not very exciting, but it's just okay. It's not too terrible. If you think about The Wizard of Oz, the movie starts off in black and white. Remember that? That was a message. Everything's black and white. Everything's just kind of plain. And then when she stepped out into her adventure, boom, it went into brilliant living color. Remember that? That's what happens when we step out, when we're called to adventure. Something is showing us a new place, a new way to be, and everything lights up for us. But sometimes we refuse the call because of fear of risk or fear of danger. We can step back at that point and not take that call to adventure. But if we do, we cross a threshold. We cross the threshold, and there's energy in that that moves us forward, that picks us up and just lifts us and moves us forward. We find a new world. We're the hero on our own journey. The hero on our own journey. On a path of tasks and challenges, fears and temptations. How do I do this? Doubts and easy way out thoughts distract us from our true path. But we make friends who support us on our journey. We here at the Spiritual Enrichment Center have each other. We have friends who are walking with us on this journey of spiritual unfolding. Dorothy had her friends, the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Lion. Luke Skywalker had R2-D2 and Chewbacca. There's always friends along the way. Harry Potter had Ron and Hermione. So those are friends that walk the journey with us. And often we meet a mentor. Dorothy had the wizard that she thought would be her mentor, but she also had Glinda the Good Witch, who was a mentor. Just saying. Luke had Obi-Wan Kenobi. Remember that? And Harry Potter had his mentors. So a mentor is a wise person who's gone there before us and can guide us, but they can't go the whole distance with us. In the end, we have to continue on our own because it's our journey. It's our hero's journey. The challenges are inevitable. There are forces that are inside of us and forces that are outside of us that are challenging this journey. We have to confront those. We learn to survive in this new world and develop new tools and ways of being that overcome the obstacles that we have run into. So what is the destination on this hero's journey that we're on? The ultimate gift is the insight that's gained about this new world and about ourselves. Knowing our true potential, who we really are, we expand our vision of ourselves and our possibilities of who we are. Then we return to the world from which we came, but it's never going to be the same. We've been transformed. We've become the master of two worlds, better equipped for the next hero's journey, waiting our next adventure. So can you identify with some of those steps? I know Lissa can, as she's been embarked on this ministerial journey. That's certainly a hero's journey that requires everything you've got when you're walking.
It's making me smile because I recognize everything you're saying.
Good. Yes, right. We do. So you can think about your own life and the journey that you've been on and the courage that it takes for you to walk your journey, and also knowing that there'll be the next step, the next hero's journey ahead for you, because that's the way life unfolds and develops. As Campbell said, a good life is one hero's journey after another. Over and over, we're called to the realm of adventure. Over and over, we're called to a life of courage. And our affirmation is, I must be myself. Let's say that together.
I must be myself.
And so it is.
And so it is.
Thank you.